Hi, everyone. Pastor David here yet again, and I'm so glad that you decided to join us for worship online today from Appleton Gospel Church. Two quick things for you. First, if you're watching today and you'd like to reach out to us, if you'd like us to reach out to you, if you have any questions about our church or anything like that, or if you're struggling and you'd like people to be praying with you, I want you to know that we're here for you. Please go to appletongospel.com/connect and let us know what you need. We'd love to help. Second, we have our monthly homeless shelter dinner coming up on May 24th, which is 1 week from today. It's the fourth Sunday of the month. And again, like last month, because of COVID-19, the Pillars Adult Shelter and the family shelters have combined, so we are going to be serving about 50% more people than usual. So we need your help to be able to love our neighbors in need. So please go to appletongospel.com/events to see a sign up for that dinner. And again, we won't be able to serve the food this month, but we will be able to provide the food, which is a really good thing. We have a number of needs there, so please go there and sign up for some of those needs today. Well, today we get to start a new sermon series called Healing a Troubled Heart. And this series will help you to grow in your ability to deal with some of the very common emotional struggles of life. And hopefully, how to help love the people around you better who might be struggling with these things as well. This is just a difficult time. And so throughout this series, we're going to address the topics of anxiety, loneliness, guilt, depression, and grief, which are very important topics for any time, but especially during this time, during a time like this, when all of the uncertainty and disruption of everything that we're facing today is going on all around us. You or your loved ones might feel like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death right now. And I don't want you to stay in the valley. And I don't believe that you will remain in the valley forever. But you need to know about the spiritual resources that are available to you in the way of Jesus that can help you find hope and strength and peace. Now, as a kind of a qualifier for this whole series, of course, as vitally important as spiritual resources are, they're not the only resources available to you. And human beings are physical, emotional, intellectual, relational, and spiritual beings. So there are various resources for you relating to all of the different dimensions of who you are. However, when you go to your physician and you talk about your physical health, or you meet with a professional counselor and you talk about emotional needs or relational issues, you likely won't get the resources that you need to adequately address the spiritual side of your nature. And this is where I come in. And this is the role that I can play as a pastor. And this is the role that we can play as a church in the community of care that you need to be able to flourish in life. However, the reverse is also true. If you only focus on your spiritual needs and you ignore your body or you ignore your relationships, you're probably going to continue to struggle in life. As a human being, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So you must embrace how beautifully complicated and interrelated your mind and body and spirit are. It's how God wanted you to be. Now, that said, certainly a crisis like the COVID-19 pandemic can create new problems in people's lives. Maybe you've never worried much or had much anxiety about your health, but all of a sudden, now you're afraid for your health or the health of your loved ones because of this new virus. Well, that's normal. That makes sense because you're responding to a real potential threat caused by this current crisis. However, a crisis can also magnify or intensify existing problems in people's lives as well. Certain things which were difficult but manageable before become overwhelming now. For example, maybe you were always mildly anxious about your finances before, but now the fear of losing your job or your income or having to dip into long-term savings is keeping you up at night and making your stomach churn inside of you, even though you still might have your job or your income coming in. Well, what was manageable before becomes overwhelming now. Distant fears can become anxiety up close. So it's no wonder that in this season, so many people have been having such a difficult time. But in the kindness of God, in the sovereign grace of God, He understands how we are formed as human beings. And in the Bible, God gives us a vast library filled with truth that can help us successfully and productively deal with the anxiety that so often troubles our hearts. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, please open it to Psalm 40. We're going to pray, and then we're going to jump into this text together. So please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for the hope and the peace and the strength and the healing that are possible by your grace and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Would you speak the truth into our worried hearts and minds? And Father, would you heal our troubled hearts today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Psalm 40, starting in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they'd be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs on my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life and be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. This is God's word. So the Psalms in the Bible are songs or poems that are part of what's called the wisdom literature of the Bible. And for countless generations, the Psalms have been the hymnal of the church. They've been used in the corporate worship of God's people for thousands of years. And Psalm 40 says that it's a Psalm of David. That is King David, who was unquestionably the most powerful and successful king of the ancient people of Israel. King David lived about 3,000 years ago and is one of the more fascinating people in the Bible. From the record of his life in the Bible, we know that he was a mighty warrior who fought and won many victories against his enemies and ushered in an unprecedented era of peace for his nation. But David was also a prolific musician and composer who not only wrote many of the Psalms in the Bible, but put together a small army of worship leaders who led the people into a time of spiritual revival and renewal. But David was not a perfect man. David had sins and struggles just like we do today. And the road to victory for him led through massive amounts of uncertainty, anxiety, and fear. We can look back at his life and see the end from the beginning and see how it turned out. But he had to live his life like we do, not knowing what tomorrow might bring. And we hear some of the tension of that in this psalm, do we not? We see highs and we see lows. First, we hear his testimony thunder across the great assembly in verse 9. Verse 9, I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. So here, David is on the big stage. Probably David is talking about one of the national festivals where everyone who was able was going to travel to the city of Jerusalem to worship their God together. And David is preaching to the people, to the great assembly. And he can't help but lift up the name of his God and declare with power his works of salvation, his faithfulness. David not only believes it, but he's preaching it about the love and the faithfulness of God. He's not a quiet observer in the back. He's leading the charge. But then what happens between verse 10 and verse 12? In verse 12, he says, "Troubles without number surround me, and my heart fails within me." In verse 13, he says, "Save me, Lord, help me." All of a sudden, there's enemies all around him seeking to ruin him and laugh at him and even threaten to take his life. In verse 17, it says, "But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me." What happened here? Where's all the flash and the thunder? Where's the mighty sermon of God's love and faithfulness? Where's the mighty warrior? The strength of David's faith in the first half of this psalm and then the weakness of his plea at the end have led some scholars to wonder if Psalm 40 was originally two different songs grouped together. Because how can one song have such extreme differences in emotion? How can one song be so bold in one moment and so anxious in the next? And maybe they're right. Maybe this was two different songs originally put together as one, but I don't think so. I think that this was one song written by a real person in the real world, a world of both victories and defeats, a world of both salvation and struggle. You see, David is a real person with a real faith in God, living in a broken world with many possible sources of anxiety and fear. And David isn't alone. Many people struggle with anxiety on a regular basis. Please hear this. Anxiety is a normal response in this broken world. But especially during a time of COVID-19 and social distancing measures and the hugely increasing unemployment numbers, anxiety is swirling all around us. Just as one example, the cover story from the current Harvard Business Review is called "Leading Through Anxiety." Everyone is dealing with this right now. In the article, it says that data from the National Institute of Mental Health has indicated that about 30% of Americans experience clinical anxiety at some point in their lives. That's one out of three people. That means that anxiety is such a common struggle. It's a human struggle. Now, if you're a Christian, it's possible that if you or a loved one has struggled with anxiety, you might have wondered at some point if your anxiety, if your fear disqualifies your faith. Am I still a Christian if I struggle with anxiety? Now, the answer is yes. In a world that is broken and distorted by the power of sin and death, in a world of global pandemic, All you need is a brain and a news feed to start being anxious. Even the most secure among us have insecurity at times. And even the most fearless among us, maybe that was King David, have fears that become overwhelming at times. But David is a man of faith. He has studied the scriptures and he knows who God is and what God has done in the past. He knows what God has promised for the future, and these things are great resources to him when he has cause to be afraid. Now, there are many great places in the Bible that address anxiety, and Psalm 40 is just one of those places. But in this psalm, I think we have a great case study for dealing with anxiety. Look back at verse 1. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Now, literally, in the original Hebrew language, David says, waiting, I waited for Yahweh. Have you ever felt that way when you were anxious? That you were waiting and waiting and waiting for something to change or for good news to come, or you were waiting and you were just stuck in the waiting? But in his waiting, what does David do? David actively puts his trust in the Lord. And not in some nameless, faceless deity, not in some divine force, not in the hands of fate, but in Yahweh God. Who is that? Well, you see, when God entered into a covenant relationship with his people, one of the keystone moments in the history of God's people, this happened at Mount Sinai through Moses, the prophet. God told the people that his personal name was Yahweh. But out of reverence for the personal name of God, it became a tradition not to write the divine name, but to translate it as Adonai, meaning Lord, in the scriptures. And so modern Bible translations follow that tradition by using Lord, written in uppercase letters, in the place of Yahweh, for the personal name of God. So when you see the uppercase Lord, as we do in verse 1, you know that the original text is the personal name of God, which was given in the context, remember, of this close, personal, vested relationship. So just seeing the name of God should remind us of all of the close, personal interaction that God has had with his people throughout history. So David actively puts his trust, his faith in Yahweh. When troubles without number have surrounded him, and when his heart is failing within him, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. Do you know that the Lord, in your anxiety, turns his face toward you and attends to you? Did you know that the Lord hears your cry? He is not far off. He is near and he is personal. He is not uncaring or unconcerned about you. Though we are such frail creatures, though we are such temporal creatures, we are here today and gone tomorrow. The Lord God Almighty, the maker of the heavens and the earth, he loves us and provides for us. He protects us and guides us through life. He's done it before and he will do it again. And David recognizes this in verse 2. He writes, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. That's such a great picture of what anxiety can feel like. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. When your thoughts are spiraling out of control, when your emotions are all over the place, doesn't it feel as if the way forward is just unstable? That your path may not hold you? That your feet may slip? But David said that it was God who lifted me out of the pit. It was God who gave me stability. It was God who gave me a strong and firm foundation. Last week, we saw at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus said, "Anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." And we saw that resilient, unshakable faith is possible for those who follow the way of Jesus. Not that everything will be easy in life, but that the foundation of your life can be strong. It can hold you up when the storms in life come. David had that kind of resilient faith. Though he had enemies all around, and though he experienced hardship, and though he wrestled with his own sin, and he had great struggles and conflict, even within his own family, he was able to remember the times when God had been his foundation in the past. And that helped him to actively put his trust in the Lord once again and see that his feet were on the rock once more. Look at verse 3. "He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and will put their trust in him." So in just the first three verses of Psalm 40, David gives us four spiritual practices that I believe can help us deal with anxiety today. What are these practices? Well, first, David's perspective is profoundly theological. He doesn't wait for his circumstances to change to resolve his anxiety. He waits for the Lord, his God, to help him. Before David is lifted out of the pit, he lifts his eyes to the Lord. The foundation of his life rests on him. He turns from the circumstantial, what's going on around me? And he turns to the theological. What does that sound like? Well, have you ever stopped in moments of anxiety to ask, where is God in this situation? Or, what do you think God could be doing here in this chaos? Questions like that help us to zoom out from the narrow focus on yourself and your fears to a far bigger and a far better perspective. Second, in the meantime, in the waiting, before his circumstances change, in his anxiety, he's praying to God and trusting that the Lord has heard his cry. When people struggle with strong emotions, sometimes there's a sense of embarrassment or shame that go with that. They try to squash their anxieties down, and it just never quite works. It's almost like trying to squeeze the air out of a soccer ball. It's not going to work. But one of the reasons that I believe that the Psalms are in the Bible is that they show us that we can bring all of our emotions to the Lord. The Psalms contain the whole range of human emotions, everything from joy all the way to despair. And I think that that means that we can take our fear, we can take our anxiety, we can take any negative emotion to God in prayer. He isn't threatened by them. God created emotions for us to be able to help us, but not to rule over us. God is our Father in heaven, and if there's something truly bothering us, he wants us to take it to him because he cares for us as his children. And so David cries out, and what happens? Well, the Lord answers his cry. Third, David's not only singing songs of praise, but he's writing a new song of praise. He's literally changing his tune from his fear to the glory of God. And he finds he's able to write verse after verse about the goodness and the love and the faithfulness of the Lord, even in his anxiety. Now, I don't know about you, but Here's a true confession. Sometimes in singing worship music, my heart moves my mouth. Sometimes the reverse is true. Sometimes I'll be reading scripture or hearing preaching, and all of a sudden the power or the beauty of the person or the work of God becomes a little more real within my heart, and it just moves my mouth to sing the praises of God. But sometimes the reverse is true. Sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes my heart doesn't feel that inspired or greatly moved. But when my mouth starts singing songs of praise to God, sometimes my mouth can move my heart to engage and come alive once more. So don't wait for the absence of fear to begin to sing. Sing because of the glory of God. Sing because God is worth it. Very often, your heart will follow. Finally, fourth, David adjusts his perspective from a negative potential to a positive promise. Could something bad happen to you or to one of your loved ones in the future? Well, that is a negative potential. Will God be glorified and will many see him and put their trust in him? That is a positive promise of the gospel. God is making all things new in Christ. The story of the world is now a story of redemption and new creation in Christ, and our fear will not get the final word. And we can know that this will happen because it is based on the power and the promise of God himself. And so David affirms this positive promise. He speaks the truth to maybe to his own heart. And this is such a good practice for us because first we see David adopted a profoundly theological perspective. Second, he brings his anxiety to the Lord in prayer because God can take it. Third, he continues to sing songs of praise because God hasn't changed, even though his circumstances might have changed. And fourth, he focuses on the positive promises of what God is doing in this broken world. And it's these four spiritual practices that do not delete our anxiety, but they do have the power to direct our anxiety to the one who has the ability to lift us up and set our feet on the rock, the one who hears our cry and is faithful to save. Now, on a personal note, as a pastor during a pandemic, Psalm 40 really resonates with me. Because there are days when I'm ready to declare the good news of God to the great assembly in all the boldness and without fear, like I should. But there have also been days for me when the anxieties that I have for my family or for people's health or for the economy or for you and all of the different cares and concerns of our church have become overwhelming. I resonate with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 when he lists all these difficult things that he had to endure, including being beaten and shipwrecked. And at the end of everything, he says, "And the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches." There are days when it's felt as if the muck and the mire have come up to my neck and feel like it's just going to swallow me whole. But then, in the mercy of God, and in the timing of God, he has lifted me up and set my feet on a rock and has given me a new song to sing. And in those moments, I'm reminded of just how much more that we know of God's story and God's character than even David could have seen in his day. For we know that in Jesus, God's only Son was willing to give up the certainty and the safety of heaven for the chaos and the uncertainty of this broken world. Even more, Jesus was willing to lay down his life on the cross for the sins of the world and be raised from the dead on the third day so that our future and our hope might be secure. Even in the name of Jesus, we see a promise of God fulfilled. For the name of Jesus means Yahweh saves. You see, David waited patiently for the saving work of Yahweh God. But it's in Jesus and through faith in him that we see just how Yahweh saves. So anxiety is a normal response in this broken world, and it's a struggle for so many people. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Jesus is our help and our deliverer. He is our God. He will not delay. And this gives us great hope and strength and peace. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we need you. We are not okay in this broken world without you. So, Lord, I ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and that you would fill our hearts and our minds with the truth of your word and that you would bring to our hearts and our minds a memory of your promises and that you would fill our hearts with hope once more and peace once more. Father, would you heal our troubled hearts? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.